But Father, we thank you for those words. Thank you, Christ, Yahushua, for being our head, and through you we come to our Father. Amen.
Amen.
So power is what it's all about. We have a living Elohim, Yahweh Elohim of hosts. Tonight, the title will be Mythological and teachings of demons believed today in the Christianity. So, what we have is, we have things, and this is very important for younger people to realize, there's really two categories that Yahweh's broken down to: myths, and we're going to find out what, and that word is really muthos, that's how it's pronounced, it's a Greek word. And then you have seducing spirits and doctrine or teachings of demons that come about. So we're going to be breaking that down. So we're going to go to first or 2 Timothy 4, verse 2. So this information is... Mythologies. Plural.
Mythologies.
2 Timothy what?
4, verse 2. Obviously, 2 Timothy was for Timothy, who is a man of Elohim, which means he's actually a prophet. But we can learn a lot from it and walk in the same kind of capacity. And I will start off in 2 verse 4.
4 or 2?
Chapter 4, verse 2. Verses 2 to 4. Proclaim the word. This is Paul talking to Timothy. Take that position in season, out of season. Convince, rebuke, encourage with all longsuffering and teaching. For there will be a season when the helpful teaching they will not endure. But according to their own covetings, will unto themselves heap up teachers, because they have an itching ear. And from the truth indeed their ear will turn away, while unto stories, that's the word muthos. And so, and which we're going to be studying. It's actually spelled M-Y-T-H, but the Greek word is like M-U-T-H-O-S, muthos. They will turn themselves aside to. So we have to be able to determine what is myths and what is, let me see here. I guess we didn't get into doctrines of demons yet. That's the next verse. So the word muthos is a story, true or false. It's not negative. And so the Greek usage is speech, thought, word, or discourse. The King James translated these fable. So there's going to be four usages of muthos. Fable, which is not a really correct definition, because muthos can be true, or it can be false. A myth, in our society, a myth is false. That's not the correct use of the word. The word means a story. And so it's nice that Rotherham translates it story, because a story can be true or false. The other, NIV, ESV, New Living Translation, will actually translate it myth, M-Y-T-H, but in our society as a whole, it's going to be misunderstood, because myth means false.
Yeah.
And that's not what the word means. And so they're connecting it with the vulgar usage, even though it's a literal translation. Now we go to its usages, which is 1 Timothy. We'll begin with chapter 1. Verse 3 and 4. Even as I exhort thee to remain in Ephesus when I was sojourning into Macedonia, thou mightest charge some not to be teaching otherwise, nor be giving heed to stories, muthos, and endless genealogies, the which being argued rather than the stewardship of Yahweh, which is with faith. So I'm going to break down, we're going to look at two categories of what I'm going to say, my own personal thing, of myth and teachings of demons. And so myth, in this particular case, is not breaking a commandment. So it's something that people want to believe. And that's what he's talking about. Don't get in that arguing, all sorts of stuff. It's not about the commandments. Now, I'm going to say the teaching of demons is to take you away from the commandments. So I'm going to break them into two categories. So we see right here, it says, don't mess with that. In chapter 4, verse 7, same book. But from the profane and old wives, muthos, excuse thyself, miss. Okay, there's another one. You just back out. You don't get in these discussions. You know, like Dr. Rohrer said, how many angels can sit on the head of a pin? Yeah. I mean, and so there's just weird things that just people just go off and you're just like, nope, not going there. We go to Titus 1:14. Timothy, Titus. Not giving heed to Judaical muthos and commandments of men who are turning away from the truth. And we go to the last issues will be 2 Peter 1:16.
I'm sorry. What
was it? 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 16. For not as having followed cleverly devised muthos stories, may we know unto you the power and the presence of our Lord Yahushua Mashiach, but as having been made spectators of his majesty. So you can see, we know that people have itching ears. It tells us. People will tell us what they want to believe. So we can go ahead and fabricate what they want. And we've become very successful in doing that. And Yahweh, through Paul, is telling him, don't do that. Now we go to the teachings of demons, which is 1 Timothy 4. Go back to 1 Timothy. I'm going to put more pressure with this.
Chapter 4?
Yeah. Verses 1 to 3. Howbeit, the Ruach expressly said that in later seasons some will revolt from the faith. And so this is really getting serious now. Instead of talking about
myths,
which are just stories, now we're going to get into separating people from the faith. And in my opinion, it would be going against Yahweh's commandments. Let's see, giving heed unto seducing spirits, and this is very important, seducing spirits, and unto teachings of demons. Remember, we know demon is just a lesser god than Theos. So in Greek world, Theos is the number one god, demons were any lesser gods. So it can be, you know, so when a Greek heard the word demon, that does not mean evil ruach. But evil spirit. But obviously we know we're going to see that impure spirits are also demons in this particular case. But that's the word diabolon, I believe. And it's not necessarily what we think of it as today. And to teachings of demons in hypocrisy, speaking falsehood, of demons cauterized in their own conscience, forbidding to marry, commanding to abstain from foods which Yahweh created to be received with thanksgiving by them who believe and personally know the truth. Now, so we know, let's just go to 2 Corinthians 11. Now we're getting into a real spiritual contest here. 11, verse 13. And what do you want to read, 13 to 15?
13, did you say?
Yeah.
For such as these are false prophets, deceitful workers transfiguring themselves into apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself doth transfigure himself into a messenger of light. No great thing, therefore, if his ministers also are transfiguring themselves as ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works.
Now we're getting into really heavy things, and we're going to find out what teachings are muthos, or myths, and what teachings are actually teachings of demons. I'm always going to say doctrine of demons. But we can start off at Genesis 3. What category is this? With the serpent and Eve. In verse 1, now the serpent was more crafty than any living thing of the field. What is that? Seducing spirits. So think of that, seducing. If you're crafty, to be seduced is to go and to be led into a direction that's not going to benefit you, but it's going to benefit the person who is seducing you. Yahweh God had made, so he said unto the woman, can it really be that Elohim has said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Now we're going to go into teachings of demons. Because the teaching of demon in verse 4 says, and the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not die. Mm-hmm. Now we're into teachings of demons, which now you're breaking the commandments. Now this stuff is very severe at this particular time.
I think earlier we read that's a revolt.
Yeah.
That's a revolt.
And we know, we're going to look at the ones that are in the Christian church today, things just as severe, if not worse, than that particular lie. And that particular lie is still taught today, teaching the demons that you do not die. That's the immortality of the soul, is what they're saying also, you do not die. And so that's your friends believe, or if they've known anything, and you've got to be able to have the ability to show them that's not the case. And that's really a doctrine of a demon. Now we go back to the itching ears. Well, we know about that. People have itching ears back in 2 Timothy 4:3. Now let's go see this with Aharon in Exodus 32.
Exodus?
Yeah, Exodus 32.
Hey, Aharon.
Okay, 1 through 5. And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mountain, the people gathered themselves together unto Aharon and said unto him. Now remember, in 2 Timothy, yeah, that's what we're talking about. 2 Timothy 4:3. After their own covenings, finding teachers, you know, to relieve their itching ears. And so they seek after people to do what they covet
to justify what they want to believe.
And this is what's going to happen to Aharon. Make for us gods who shall go before us, for as is Moses, the man who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we know not what has befallen him. That's the exact thing what happens in churches today. And so generally, very simply, really successful churches, probably at a whole, are teaching doctrines of demons. That's why they're successful. Real simple. We're going to see the Catholic, the Protestants, they're giving the people exactly what they want, and they don't give them things that will make them turn away. And that's reproof and correction. Let's see here, the teaching of demons. Jeroboam, let's go to see him, 1 Kings 11. Also in the classification of teachings of demons.
First
Kings 11. 29. So this is kind of a story about him. Aaron, you want to read 29 to 31?
Sure. 29. You said 31?
Yeah, 231.
And it came to pass at that time when Jeroboam went forth out of Jerusalem, that there met him Ahijah, the Shilonite, the prophet in the way. He having wrapped himself about with a new mantle. And they too were by themselves in the field. And Ahijah laid hold of the new mantle that was upon him and rent it into 12 pieces. Then said Jeroboam, take thee 10 pieces. For thus saith Yahweh Elohim of Israel, behold me about to rend the kingdom out of the hand of Solomon. And I will give them unto thee 10 tribes.
Read 38.
So shall it be, if thou wilt hearken unto all that I shall command thee, and wilt walk in my ways, and do that which is right in mine eyes, by keeping my statutes and my commandment, as did David my servant, then will I be with thee, and will build thee an assured house, as I have built for David, and I will give unto thee Israel.
So who anointed, who wants Jeroboam to be king?
Yahweh.
Yahweh does. So Yahweh, so that gives us a deal where this person is such a successful pastor or has so much power. And, yeah, that was right. And this person was particularly anointed, a prophet or maybe an apostle. As we know what happened to Judas as being an apostle. And we've seen, Balaam, who was a prophet for Yahweh. And they can turn, and so that usually, if a person sees a lot of stuff, and Kenneth Copeland's a good example. I was listening to Kenneth Copeland the other day, and all of a sudden he's talking about Judas, and when he, just making things up. When he hung himself, the tree was too weak, and the limb broke, and he fell, and busted open his guts. And so that's how he came. And he went straight to hell. And he's in hell right now. Now, can you imagine, here's an 80-year-old person who's supposed to be teaching the Word, doing this without blinking an eye. And you've got millions and millions of people contributing and following that doctrine of demon. Just an illustration. So we can't go by the statute because the problem is somebody can be 80% right and doctrines of Yahweh and 20% doctrines of demons. And it happens all the time. And maybe a 50-50, maybe 25-75. And Yahweh still uses them in that capacity. Let's go to chapter 12 now. And he's going to get very clever. Jeroboam, 26 to 28. So here's the story. In Israel, Jerusalem, people came to the temple how many times a year?
Three
times a year. They were commanded to come to the temple three times a year. Mm-hmm. Well, Jeroboam's got the 10 tribes up north, and he's going to start thinking, this cannot be allowed to be done. But Yahweh says, if you follow me, I will make your generations kings. All right, so I've got to be able to trust it. Now, he's going to say, this isn't going to work. That's what we start seeing. 26. And Jeroboam said in his heart, now shall the kingdom return to the house of David, if this people go up to offer sacrifice in the house of Yahweh in Jerusalem, then will the heart of this people return unto the Lord, unto Rehoboam, king of Judah, and they will what?
Slay me.
And return unto Rehoboam, king of Judah. Whereupon the king took counsel. Now this is it. Remember, the covetings. And so what you're going to do is covetings. And I'm going to give the people what they probably really want, because people really don't want to do that trip anyway, because we're up north, and it's a three-day walk into Jerusalem, all right, from most places. And so let's just revamp this. It's too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. Oh, lo, thy gods, O Israel, that brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And he set the one in Bethel, and the other put he in Dan. So here you got, I'm going to give this, and the people should have said, time out! We know the law, and the law says it can only be Jerusalem. But no, the people didn't, because now it's easier to go.
They made two calves.
Yeah, they made two calves. And so what we've got, this is the Trinity. And so what today is, I would say 99% of all churches, probably population-wise, are committing the sins of Jeroboam. No doubt about it. There's Yahweh, and then there's two calves, and that's God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. Same old story. Right there, because people want that. And so you tell them, and then you find, if you follow all the kings, you're always going to talk about the sins of Jeroboam, the sins of Jeroboam, the sins of Jeroboam. This is not a myth. You have told people, just like Aharon did, to break the first and second commandment.
Doctrines of demons.
Yeah, doctrines of demons, or teachings of demons. Now we go to Yahushua, Matthew 15. And so when people invite you to go to church, and you should be inviting people, and Elijah, you might want to start having a fellowship. You know, you're 17 years old. I mean, there's so much people respect you that you can say there's Christian athletes with that fellowship of Christian athletes. There are some who say, hey, let's have a Bible study. You know, heck, when we were in Southeast High School, we were carrying Bibles in high school. We had like a revolution where people were leading, and people went, look at this guy's got a Bible in his hand. Hey, you know, let's get together and do some teaching. I'll show you how to read the Bible. Mm-hmm. Have you ever read the Bible? No, it's too big. Well, I'm going to show you how to read it. And where it's not too big.
It's too hard. Not harder than that.
It's not hard at all. Don't you want to know about things? Don't you want power? Then you get into power for your fitness and how to succeed in your education, how to succeed in life, how to choose the right woman or the right man if you decide to get married. All these things. And if you don't, you know, people are just waiting for leadership.
Yeah.
You know, very simple, because everybody is silent. Like Aaron said, you'd be silent if you're a Christian. Was that Northwest?
Yeah, I was a closet Christian.
Yeah, he was a closet Christian. All right? And there's that intimidation factor. Don't do that. All right? So sometimes you can overcome that as you come up with clothing that just goes bing.
It does, yeah.
You know, I'm for you on your track. I'm for Jesus, and so the Isaiah, you know, where you just let that out and lead on. You know, well, I don't want to do that because there's sins I want to commit, and then after I've committed those sins, I will turn. And that was
many of us have
Constantine too. The emperor Constantine. He didn't want to be baptized until he's at the end of his life. And then it'd be all down. But you're taking the bait. You are going to be led away with a ring in your nose into dark places. You know, and that's where people, you know, got drunk. They had sex when they weren't supposed to. People got pregnant. People died in car accidents. You know, young people. These are all young people within their age. They know people have died in car accidents.
Yeah.
And what would have happened, you know, if they would have had it walking by the Ruach? But 15 verse 1, but here's Christ. So we're going to see doctors of demons that the Pharisees had taught. Then there came unto Yahushua from Jerusalem Pharisees and scribes, saying, wherefore do thy disciples transgress the traditions of the elder, for they wash not their hands when they eat bread? But he answered and said to them, wherefore do you also transgress the commandment of Yahweh for the sake of your tradition? For Yahweh said, honor thy father and thy mother. What commandment is that? Fifth commandment. Yeah, so think of that. Just fifth commandment. Honor thy father and thy mother. He that revileth father or mother, let him what?
Die.
Surely die. I mean, this is in stone, but look what the Christian church is now teaching. We'll just call that the Christian church. But you say, whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, a gift, whatsoever out of me thou mightest be profited. In no wise shall honor the father or his mother. And so what they're saying is, hey, mom and dad, you need a car. I don't want to do that, but I'm going to give you a bicycle. And be thankful for that bicycle I give you. Oh, you're so nice. Thank you so much, son. Okay, and don't ask for anything else because I'm out. And that's it for the year. Hypocrites, verse 7. Well prophesied you concerning Isaiah, saying, this people with their lips do honor me. And this is the majority of the churches today. It's just a real simple thing. While their hearts far off holdeth from me, but in vain do they pay devotions unto me. Why? Teachings for teachings, the commandments of men. They can do some good things, but when you present to them the truth, they don't want to go down that path because it's not going to benefit them. And actually, they're going to have to suffer for Christ's sake. And I don't want to suffer for Christ's sake. You know, really, it's really simple. If I go against the Trinity, and then we can kind of look at that. So I've got the myths today, and these are pleasing men, but not breaking commandments. You go to heaven when you die. And people want that. That's why they believe it. It's not true. In the Catholic Church, 14 stations of the cross. Ever happened? No? Just a myth? It's just made up. Is Mary a virgin all her life? Yep. No? I mean, so simple. No? But it's not breaking a commandment. See, there, I mean, there's a difference. This is that, my goodness. How about the dead or alive? Children go to heaven when they die, you know, 1 year old or 2 year old, and that makes them feel a lot better. And hell, which is really a myth, which is Hades, which is the god Hades, which is the underworld. But there's some ramifications on that. Now you get into the teachings of demons or seducing spirits, which are breaking the commandments of Trinity. Why do we do that? So we have a God we can see. Mm-hmm. Real simple. And that's Jesus right now. So Jesus is everything.
Yeah.
You know, there is no Holy Spirit. There is no really Father. It is Jesus. You know, even when I look at Smith Wigglesworth, he's always talking about God and Jesus, God and Jesus. But it's always God first. And when you look at the songs today, and like when we went to New Life, things like that, or Heaven said, it's Jesus, Jesus, Jesus.
It's only Jesus.
Yeah, it's all Jesus. And it is really bad. What I also teach you is generally do not speak in tongues. It's an embarrassing. So how do we do that? We just say it went away with the apostles. And imagine that. You don't want to give prayers to our Heavenly Father.
Perfect prayer.
Yeah, perfect prayer that gives thanks well. But that's the way it is. Unconditional love, we never heard of that.
Yeah,
did you ever hear that? You know, I mean,
not really.
When you were 20, 30 years ago, this is really new. And who benefits from unconditional love?
Sinners.
Nobody wants to keep sinners.
The church that wants to keep the sinners.
Yeah. It's a real simple thing. Is I don't want to be judged. Mm-hmm. And so unconditional, he doesn't love me any more or any less. And no matter what you say, you're going to be breaking the commandments. Because of that, homosexuality we know is in the United Methodist Church. Becoming friends with sinners. If I'm friend with sinners, does that benefit me?
No.
I have more friends.
Sure.
I'm more friendly. Friends.
Yeah. And so I like that. Well, he fornicates, not a whole lot, you know, but he...
Become more relaxed in that area.
Well, he just, okay, he's getting drunk, once in a while. But I'm not going to say anything because I really like this.
He only gets stoned on Sunday.
But these are teachings of demons. There's another one now. We all go to heaven. There is no death. There is no hell. There is no judgment.
Yeah.
And even what he said, her mother believes that.
Yeah.
And so eventually, hell is so horrific. That can't be happening. So one way or another, we're all going to end up in heaven.
And don't tell them anything else, because this is what you're...
And this is what you want to believe.
Yeah.
Immortality of the soul, which is there's no death, and that's where the hell comes with everything else. So, we're going back to 2 Corinthians 4. Let me finish up. Back full circles. What is Timothy to tell... You know, if you want to be popular, doing what Yahweh says is not going to do it.
No.
But there are people out there. You know, our website, and if we use the gifting, every one of us has gifts. And Yahweh places in the body as it has pleased Him. So with Tell You Those Minutes, we had about 14,000 people visited last month in May. So think of that, 14,000 people across the world. We're finding out countries we never even heard of. Gardon, and this is in Africa. Yeah, Gardon is in Africa. All of a sudden, I see these hits from Gardon. And so you're looking at G-A-D-O-N.
Yeah.
But you're like, Gardon. And you're like, I've never even heard of such places. So we can be so active. And Mom's got a ministry of talking to people on the phone and listening to them and doing that. Aaron's got a great ministry of prophesying for people. You know, I can do teachings and put things on, but it's engaging. It's what is your desire? Do it. Mm-hmm. And to the glory of Yahweh. And so it is spread out where people are actually contacted by Yahweh in one way or another. And like one psychologist said, he said, be intentional. So each day is, I'm intending to please Yahweh today. I'm intending to help people today. And I'm going to think that. Who did I help today? How can I help people today? Well, I haven't helped anybody today.
Well, you know, you think you feel stupid doing it.
Yeah, but there's
exactly. And yeah. Just do it.
No, you just do it.
Yeah, you're right.
It is blessing somebody at the cash register or...
Well, she used to, she's the one that taught me about put the grocery cart up.
Yeah.
You know, if you see one sitting there or whatever, you know, do little things that they seem like nothing, but they aren't.
And then it's we found a way to say, how is your life? And any waiter, anybody at the cash register, you can just say a very simple thing is, not how are you today? Oh, yeah, I'm all right. You know, that's just, right? No, let's just change it up. Or you can come up with a different saying. Yeah. How is your life?
And it's really neat to
react. Do you need any prayer? It's really simple.
And nobody's going to deny you of that because...
So sometimes they might feel uncomfortable.
They feel uncomfortable, so they're going to go ahead and say yes.
But then you go out there, and if they say everything's fine, good. But then they say, God, somebody just asked if I should have prayer or something. It's such a...
So many times you have guys, especially men, they'll go, well, now that I think about it,
it's pretty darn good,
you know.
You pray for my granddaughter or for my mother. She's sick and everything else. And then, like, Aaron can say, well, can I pray for you right now? And you can just set their lives free. So we just get in there and engage. But right back here, 2 Corinthians 4:1. I adjure thee before Yahweh and Christ Yahushua, who is about to judge. 2 Timothy chapter 4.
I believe you made a mistake.
Yes, I did.
Second one?
It's already June the 2nd. Damn.
Dang it.
No more this month.
I have no more this I adjure thee before Yahweh and Christ Yahushua, who is about to be judging living and dead, both as to his foreshining his kingdom. Do what? Proclaim the word, not the doctrines of men. And so Isaiah or Elijah, somebody says hell, and what do you say?
God bless you.
They say, do you believe in hell? Or there is a hell. He's going to go to hell, and you would say. And so we can train you. You just have to say, what Hebrew word are you saying? I mean, we say that Jesus is God. What are you going to say?
No, he's not.
He hasn't.
Or prove it.
You should
exercise this and say, are you aware? You don't have to say he's not. You just have to say, are you aware that Jesus has a God? See, instead of saying he's not God, how dare you blaspheme? And so we exercise ourselves, and on Facebook or anything else, and, you know, hell, then you have to say, what Hebrew word are you saying? And the conversation's over. But you got to exercise that. You have to learn it yourself. You say, Jesus is God. You have to say, are you aware that Jesus has a God? And what verse is that? So I was going to tell you, it's really simple. But you need to do this. Anybody?
Ephesians 1:3-17.
Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then once you hit that, wait a minute here, I'm stopping a doctrine of demon, the teaching of demons. When I say, hell, what Hebrew word are you saying? It can only be Sheol. And Sheol, it's not used until Genesis 37, and Jacob is saying, I'll go down into Sheol with my son, when he found out Joseph was dead. And that's not hell. And so, and even right now, NIV and New Living Translation don't have hell in the Old Testament, which is good. Okay. King James does. But it's good, because it's not in there. Well, if hell's not in the Old Testament,
that's our foundation.
No, that can't be. Well, Jesus says hell right here. No, that's what your Bible says. Mm-hmm. They made that way. It's the word of the Gehenna. So, I mean, all this stuff, we got paper upon paper upon paper. But proclaim the word. Take thy position in season, out of season. Convince, rebuke, encourage with all long suffering and teaching. Mm-hmm. So very, we got to be prepared. We got to be prepared. And there's the same old stuff out there. And you can just, you know, you have your mom or your dad, or you, as a family, you just practice. You know, prove to me there's no hell. You know, and you don't have to know a whole lot. You know, and you can get a Bible teacher, you know, pastor knocked off his feet because their foundation is on the sand. But it's suffer hardship. And so, let me see here. Yeah, with all long suffering and teaching, there'll be hardship. And 2 Timothy 3:23. Well, I guess that's 1 Timothy. No, that's wrong. It must be 1 Timothy. Let me look at it.
No, not 3:23.
No, not there either.
Could be 2:23.
Well, but it's supposed to suffer hardship. Let me see here. Okay, but we're supposed to suffer hardship. So let's end right there. And it comes with the territory. And guess what? The dividends are huge. And actually, it's kind of nice, not actually, it's really nice to be different. To stand up for something with such authority and such confidence and such, you know, we need to learn this book on these important subjects. We'll set people free. Because otherwise, you know, hell can really turn people off. Which obviously people say, how could any loving entity torture somebody forever?
Yeah.
You know, that just doesn't, I mean, I can see people torturing for what the crimes they committed, you know. But we had a friend called Stuart Fain who lived next to us, and he was a Jew, not a Christian. And they paid their taxes, and they did good things, and gave money to charities. Now, he's elected to go into the second death, all right? But he's not like Hitler.
Right.
Now, you know, Hitler or Stalin killed millions of people. How many people did you kill? None. Well, the torture can't be the same. Are you insane? And this is a man-made deal.
I want to.
Yeah, so we're going to hear from our Heavenly Father according to 1 Corinthians 14, because not only is it was absolute blessing. So, well, Father, we thank you for these words. To our Lord and Savior, Mashiach Yahushua, be bold and courageous, because you are victorious. You are my sons and my daughter, whom I've equipped with great ability and great mutual respect for each other. And there's great adventures ahead of you, adventures that you never even considered. As you join up with me and as we walk hand in hand, we will overcome the world with light, casting out darkness and letting it through light. Amen. See you next week.